Assalamu alaikum.
Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Your Health is Your Wealth with your host, Rashad Sunni El-Amin. I want to thank you all for tuning in this evening. On this program, we speak on health issues, holistic health, and ways to reverse conditions. I am a holistic educator and also a naturopath. Again, I thank you all for tuning in. I thank Imam Alfred Muhammad, who allows me this spot every Thursday from 7 to 8. And we're going to later on ask you for donations to his GoFundMe prostate site, where you can send donations to help people with prostate problems. Again, I thank you. I always suggest everybody that you have a pen and pad ready, because you want to take notes. You don't know, it may be you who may have this condition, or it may be someone in your family, a friend, or coworker, and you want to be able to share this information with them so that they also can benefit. So, we're going to start, and again, I apologize. I wasn't on last week. I missed last week. I wasn't able to be on. Glad to be on this week, and we have a few topics we're going to speak about. Many of you have circulatory problems, and we want to deal with that, and also we want to deal with cirrhosis of the liver. That's very important also, and gallbladder disorders, and maybe one or two more. So stay tuned, and we're going to get ready to start. It seems like there's some static I hear on this phone. Hopefully the connection's not bad, and hopefully you can hear me pretty well. Let's talk about circulatory problems, because it seems like many people, especially in our community, African-American community, have circulatory problems. I get people that always call me and ask me, what can I do for this? What can I do for this problem and that problem? But circulatory problems seems to be one of the main issues. So let's look at circulatory problems and what can be done and what the causes are. You know, there are many disorders associated with circulatory problems, especially when plaque or fatty deposits form along the walls of the arteries, and it causes them to harden and constrict. So we have hypertension or high blood pressure, which results because, you know, the blood exerts greater force against the walls of the narrowed and or more rigid blood vessels. And hypertension can lead to stroke, angina pectoris, which is chest pain, kidney damage, and heart attack. And I'm sure nobody wants to go through that, you see. Many of my friends have been having strokes, and it's just sad to see the condition they're in after having a stroke, especially a major stroke. And I wouldn't want to see anybody out there listening to have to go through something like that. So I want you to really pay attention and take this information down. So a circulatory disease that is brought on by chronic inflammation of the blood vessels in the extremities is called thromboangitis, okay? And it's like Berger's disease. And this disease is most prevalent among people who smoke. Among people who smoke. Now, you think about that. You know, a lot of people don't realize when they smoke cigarettes what circumstances will be later on in the future. Because you don't have problems if you smoke. All kind of problems. It usually affects the foot or lower leg, but it can occur in the hand, arm, or thigh as well. It's Berger's disease. So Early signs of Buerger's disease are a tingling sensation commonly referred to as pins and needles. I'm sure some of you have had that burning sensation in your fingers and toes. And it can lead to ulceration and gangrene. In severe cases, amputation may be required. I know nobody out there wants to have even a finger amputated, okay? But a hand or a foot or a leg, you don't want to go there, believe me. You don't want to go there. And another serious circulatory condition is called Raynaud's phenomenon, which is characterized by constricted blood vessels in the extremities, such as in the fingers, toes, and the tip of the nose. Cold, stress, smoking, and other factors may cause fingers and toes to become numb. Extremities may appear colorless or bluish due to lack of circulation and arterial spasm. So this disease most commonly affects women and occasionally leads to gangrene. So poor circulation can also result from varicose veins, which develop because of lack of elasticity in the walls of the veins, you see. So what can we do for this problem? What are some of the things that we can use that may reverse this problem? Let me give you some herbs that help support the heart and circulatory system. One is called black cohosh. The word black, then cohosh. Cohosh is C-O-H-O-S-H. Another one is butcher's broom. Butcher's, these are very good herbs. Cayenne, that's capsicum, cayenne. You know, if you get the cayenne pepper, the powder, or just the cayenne peppers, oh, that's great for circulation. Very good for circulation. Chickweed is great. Gentian root, let me spell gentian. G-E-N-T-I-A-N. Ginkgo biloba. Let me spell that for you. Ginkgo is G-I-N-K-G-O. Biloba is B-I-L-O-B-A. Ginkgo biloba. Golden seal. Very powerful herb. Strong taste. I don't care how much sweetener you put in there. You just can't sweeten that stuff. That stuff is strong, but very powerful, very good. You see, hawthorn berries, very good for circulation. You can get the extract. You can find extracts, a liquid extract with a dropper on it, and take that every day. Excellent for circulation. Many people told me how much better the circulation is just by taking hawthorn berry extract. Or you can buy the hawthorn berry tea, you see. Horsetail. Yes, horsetail. That's an herb, not the horse's tail, but the horsetail is the name of the herb. Hyssop. H-Y-S-S-O-P. Hyssop, another good one. You got licorice root. Pleurisy root, very powerful. P-L-E-U-R-I-S-Y. Rose hips, yes. And wormwood. These are also good, you see. So these are some of the ones that you can use to help you. If you're pregnant, do not use black cohosh, okay? Or if you have any type of chronic disease, stay away from black cohosh. And do not use licorice on a daily basis for more than 7 days in a row. And avoid it completely if you have high blood pressure, okay? And also do not use the wormwood during pregnancy, okay? And it's not recommended for long-term use, as it can be habit-forming. Yes, wormwood. But wormwood also removes a lot of parasites out of the body. It's a very powerful herb, you see? And you got to make sure, listen, you got to have a high-fiber diet. You know, I stress that to you every time I come on this program. A high-fiber diet is very important if you want to bring your pressure down, if you want to have good circulation. Get some oat bran. Oat bran is powerful, especially for lowering cholesterol. You don't have to get cholesterol drugs with the side effects and paying all that money, and pharmaceutical companies are getting rich off people who are suffering from this problem. Buy some oat bran. Eat a bowl of oat bran every day, especially now it's cold. You can really enjoy the oat bran. That stuff got so much fiber, and it'll remove waste out of your body, but it'll get rid of that cholesterol, okay? Make sure you have bananas, brown rice, garlic, onions, pears, peas, spinach. All these are very good foods for this problem. And also, as I always say, drink the steam distilled water only, which is the best water. And eliminate animal protein and fatty foods such as red meat, sugar, and white flour from your diet. You got to get rid of this stuff. And don't use stimulants like coffee and colas or tobacco and eating foods with a lot of spices. You know, spices are good now, but just don't go overboard with it, you see? Get regular exercise to help the blood flow and to keep the arteries soft and unclogged. These are things you have to do. Very important. You know, some of us are just sedentary. We sit for so long with couch potatoes. And when some older ones have been sitting so long, sometimes you just have to get with your health care provider, before beginning any type of exercise program, because you've been out of shape so long, you might just need a little consultation there. Hope you get started, you see? So these are just basic things to help you with circulation, okay? So hopefully you got a little something out of that. I'm not trying to be too long on these topics because I have several I want to deal with, and I want to get them out the way because I think it's very important. Now, the other one is cirrhosis of the liver. Now, we know there's a lot of people with liver problems right now. You have a lot of alcoholics, and you have people who are drug users, people who have hepatitis. You know, all this is dealing with liver problem, and people with liver cancer, you see. But let's look at cirrhosis of the liver. And cirrhosis of the liver is just a degenerative inflammatory disease that results in hardening and scarring of liver cells. And the liver becomes unable to function properly due to the scar tissue, which prevents the normal passage of blood through the liver. So the most common cause of cirrhosis of the liver is excessive alcohol consumption. Why do you have to drink alcohol? Why? To be sociable? Because everybody else is doing it? It doesn't belong in your body. That does not belong in your body. That man-made concoction is not going to benefit you not one bit, even if it's wine. I don't care what they tell you on the news. Oh, yeah, drink a glass of wine. It's very good for your heart. That's a bunch of nonsense. One week it's good, the next week it's bad. That's how you see this news sometimes when they speak about wine as a benefit for health. Please, that's just nonsense. Anyway, let's go on. So alcohol consumption is the main common cause of cirrhosis, and a less frequent cause is viral hepatitis. And malnutrition and chronic inflammation can also lead to liver malfunction. Yes. Malnutrition, huh? Chronic inflammation, yes. And in the early stages, symptoms of cirrhosis of the liver may include constipation or diarrhea. I keep hearing static in this phone. Hopefully it'll clear up. I hope you're hearing me well out there. Anyway, constipation, diarrhea, fever, upset stomach, fatigue, weakness, poor appetite, weight loss, enlarged liver, vomiting, red palms, and jaundice. And those in the later stages of the disease may develop anemia, bruising due to bleeding under the skin, and edema, which we all know, edema with the swelling of the ankles and things of that nature. Yes. So what can we do to help this problem? Well, there's an herb, alfalfa. Yes, alfalfa. Very great food, actually. It helps to build a healthy digestive tract and is a good source of vitamin K. It helps to prevent bleeding as a result of vitamin K deficiency, which is common with cirrhosis, and it can be taken in a tablet or liquid form. You can go to any health food store and find alfalfa, you know, because alfalfa roots grow hundreds of feet into the earth, grabs nutrients that other plants can't grab, you see? And alfalfa is actually means father of all foods, so keep that in mind. Aloe vera helps to cleanse and heal the digestive tract. You drink a quarter cup of whole leaf aloe vera juice every morning and evening. Those are very good for you. And it can be taken in a cup of herbal tea also if you wish. Okay? Milk thistle, very important. Milk thistle, T-H-I-S-T-L-E. It's commonly called silymarin, but milk thistle has been shown in scientific studies to repair and rejuvenate the liver. So try to take about 200 milligrams of the milk thistle three times daily. You can buy it in an extract form, which is very good if you get an extract form. Keep that in mind. Other herbs that can be beneficial for people with cirrhosis include barberry, B-A-R-B-E-R-R-Y, black radish, burdock, B-U-R-D-O-C-K, celandine, C-E-L-A-N-D-I-N-E, dandelion. Yes, those dandelions that you see growing along. Yeah, dandelion is very powerful. Fennel, F-E-N-N-E-L. Golden seal, again, golden seal. Hops, H-O-P-S. And I'm not talking about those other hops you buy on the street now. Okay, hops. Horsetail, again, horsetail. Irish moss, also great. Red clover, rose hips. Suma, S-U-M-A, thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, and also wild Oregon grape, O-R-E-G-O-N, grape, okay? But do not use barberry, celandine, golden seal, or wild Oregon grape during pregnancy, and do not take golden seal on a daily basis for more than 1 week at a time. And use it only under supervision if you have a history of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, or glaucoma. Okay? Now, you got to obtain protein from vegetable sources. So do not eat foods containing animal protein. Okay? That's very important. Eat a diet of 75% raw foods. If cirrhosis is severe, consume only fresh vegetables and fruits and their juices for 2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks. Include the following in your diet. Almonds. You can use brewer's yeast, grains, and seeds. And also, the nuts must be raw and from tightly sealed packages. Okay? They got to be raw, not roasted. Those are no good. Raw nuts are the best. You got to eat plenty of foods high in vitamin K. Okay, a person with cirrhosis of the liver are often deficient in vitamin K. So good sources of vitamin K include alfalfa sprouts and green leafy vegetables. Also include legumes like kidney beans, peas, and seeds in your diet. These foods contain the amino acid arginine, which helps to detoxify ammonia, which is a byproduct of protein digestion. Drink fresh vegetable juices such as the beet. Beet is very good for your liver. Carrot, dandelion extract, and all green drinks that you can. Wheatgrass juices, all these are strong detoxifiers. These are very good. Again, drink only the steam distilled water. You can sip barley water throughout the day, which is very good. Use only cold-pressed vegetable oils. Would be like extra virgin olive oil or hemp oil. These are good oils. Coconut oil, very good for the liver. Yes. Organic virgin coconut oil is very good. Also, limit your intake of fish, like haddock, bluefish, salmon, and sardines, to a maximum of 2 servings a week. That should be enough with the seafood. So the damaged liver cannot handle the amount of vitamin A that's contained in these foods. And you must avoid cod liver oil while you have this problem. You got to keep your colon clean. Those toxins accumulate in the liver and must be excreted by the colon and the kidneys. And do not use harsh laxatives to cleanse the system. Lemon enemas are preferred, and you take these twice weekly. You can also alternate wheatgrass enemas, and coffee enemas also works pretty well for 2 weeks. Okay, this is a way to detoxify the system. Do not take any drugs over the counter or prescription except for those prescribed by your doctor. Consume no alcohol in any form. You hear that? In any form. Also eliminate the following from your diet: animal products, candies, milk, pastries, black pepper, salt, table salt, spices, stimulants of any kind, including caffeine and colas, white rice, and products containing sugar and or white flour. Virtually all commercially prepared foods contain some of what I just mentioned. You got to read all your food labels carefully and avoid most fats. Do not eat any of the following: butter, margarine, vegetable shortening, and any other hardened fats, fried or fatty foods, melted or hard cheeses, or all that have been subjected to heat, and also that includes nuts that have been subjected to heat, either in processing and cooking. Avoid potato chips and all refined and processed foods. These overwork and damage the liver. So you got to be very specific when you have this problem. You just can't put anything in your body. Your doctor's not going to even tell you this. Your doctor's not going to tell you what I'm telling you. You see? Yes. In one study, people with cirrhosis of the liver were found to have an imbalance of essential fatty acids, which are needed for cell protection. So after taking 10 capsules of primrose oil daily for 3 weeks, these individuals showed a marked improvement in the balance of their fatty acids. And also flaxseed. Flaxseed, you can get your omega-3 essential fatty acids from the flaxseed. You know, you grind them up, grind them in your smoothie, whatever, and you will get the essential fatty acids that your body needs. You see? This is very important, brothers and sisters. Make sure you have a good vitamin B complex. Okay? You got to have a good vitamin B complex. That's very important that you have that. You see? I'm just giving you the things that are essential and things that are very important. Garlic's important. Very good. Okay. L-arginine. L Cap, that's capital L with a dash, A-R-D-I. I hear the static again. This must be a bad connection. I just can't sign off and come in again. So you have to bear with us today. I don't know why there's so much static in the phone today, but I hope you're catching most of this. But anyway, 500 milligrams of L-arginine each daily on an empty stomach, okay? And you can take it with water or juice. This is good also. And yes, there's many other things I can suggest, but I don't want to put too much on you. I just want to cover as much as I can. And so I got some other topics I want to deal with, like gallbladder disease. Let's go to gallbladder disease. This is important because a lot of people have gallbladder problems. A lot of people have gallstones, you see. So let's look at this. I'm hoping you all take notes now, you see, because your doctor's not going to tell you this, give you this information. They're not going to give you this information. All they do is drug and cut. That's all they do is drug and cut. So try the alternatives. Always try the alternative first. Then you can resort to the others last. If nothing works, then you go for that last. But always try the alternative first, because there's many benefits in the alternative. And you can save yourself from being cut or drugged. Okay? Now, just look at gallbladder disorders. You know, the gallbladder is a small organ located directly under the liver and acts as a bile reservoir. It concentrates bile, which is secreted by the liver and is used by the body to digest fat. And bile contains cholesterol, bile salts, lecithin, and other substances. Yes, cholesterol, because your body does need a certain amount of cholesterol. See? Don't let these doctors tell you, oh, we got to take the gallbladder. That's necessary. Yes, it is necessary. It is necessary. You know, some of you out there may have had your gallbladders removed, but, you know, but don't ever let them tell you that a gallbladder is not necessary. If God put it there, it's necessary. You see? So that like I mentioned already, that the bile is concentrated there. It's a reservoir. So if the gallbladder becomes inflamed, it causes severe pain in the upper right abdomen. And this is accompanied by fever, nausea, and vomiting. It is treated immediately. And if left untreated, inflammation of gallbladder be life-threatening. Okay? Yes. It could be life-threatening, and that's called cholecystitis, okay? Now, sometimes cholesterol crystallizes and combines with bile in the gallbladder to form gallstones. Yes, and often persons with gallstones have no symptoms. And if a stone blocks the bile passage, however, nausea, vomiting, and pain in the upper right abdominal region occur. And these symptoms often arise after an individual has eaten fried or fatty foods. You see how bad fried foods is for you? And all these fatty foods, you need a certain amount of fat. Yes, the body needs a certain amount of fat, but a lot of people out there get carried away eating fatty foods and fried foods. They gotta have their fried chicken, fried this and fried that, french fries and everything fried, and you just damn body. You are just damaging your body. It's not good, see? Let's look at some herbs that can help you. And here we go again. Alfalfa. Oh, boy, alfalfa is all over the place, isn't it? This is the third condition we're speaking about, and alfalfa is on the list. So alfalfa cleanses the liver and supplies necessary vitamins and minerals. And twice a day for 2 days, take 1,000 milligrams in a tablet or capsule form with a glass of warm water. Okay? peppermint oil capsules are used in Europe to cleanse the gallbladder. You hear that? To cleanse the gallbladder. That's how they do it in Europe. Other beneficial herbs include barberry, B-A-R-B-E-R-R-Y. Okay, barberry root bark. That's barberry root bark. Catnip. Yes, catnip, C-A-T-N-I-P. Cramp bark, C-R-A-M-P. Bark, B-A-R-K. Dandelion. Yes, dandelion. Fennel, F-E-N-N-E-L. Ginger root. Ginger is a very powerful herb. You need ginger. It's great for a lot of conditions, believe me. Horsetail, again, parsley, P-A-R-S-L-E-Y, and wild yam. That's an herb, wild yam. Now, do not use the barberry during pregnancy, ladies, okay? Now, for inflammation of the gallbladder, eat no solid food for a few days. Consume only distilled or spring water. Then drink juices such as pear, beet, and apple for 3 days. That's what you drink for 3 days. Then add solid foods like shredded raw beet with 2 tablespoons of olive oil, fresh lemon juice, and freshly made uncooked applesauce made in a blender or food processor. Now, if you have gallstones, take notes now. You need to know this. Well, you want to melt these gallstones? This is the process. All right. Pen's ready. And I'm hoping the static gets out. Static. I'm trying to let the static here before I give you this recipe for this problem. All right. Seems like it's up now. So for gallstones, you take 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. Extra virgin olive oil. Make sure the olive oil is from Italy so you know you have real olive oil. Okay? With the juice of a lemon. Squeeze the juice of a lemon. You do this before bedtime and also upon wakening. So when you take this down, you lay on your right side. You do this just before you go to bed. Lay on your right side. And stones are often passed and eliminated in the stool with this technique. So you can look for them. You can use grapefruit juice instead if you need to. To relieve pain, try using hot castor oil packs. Yes, the castor oil. You make a pack. You did some flannel cloth or something, and put it on the gallbladder area. You know where your liver's at. Your gallbladder's right underneath. Place the castor oil in a pan and heat it, but do not boil it. Just heat it and dip a piece of cheesecloth or other white cotton material into the oil until the cloth is saturated. And apply the cloth to the affected area and cover it with a piece of plastic that is larger in size than the cotton cloth. Then place a heating pad over the plastic and use it to keep the pack warm. Keep the pack in place for 1.5 to 2 hours as needed. This is great for that problem, okay? Also, brothers and sisters, listen. While you have this problem, eat a diet consisting of 75% raw foods. Raw foods, okay? Make sure you have fresh apples, and you can have beets, juice it, whatever, or you can shred it, okay? But raw, have a raw diet. Let's put it that way. Plenty of vegetables and fruits and things of this nature, okay? To cleanse the system, consume as much pure apple juice as possible for 5 days. Okay? And you can add some pear juice occasionally, because you can juice pears. And beet juice also cleanses the liver. All this is going to help cleanse the liver, okay? You got to avoid sugar and products containing sugar. You got to avoid all animal fat and meat, fried foods, spicy foods, margarine. That dangerous food is margarine. My God, man-made concoction. Soft drinks, another dangerous food. Commercial oils, coffee, chocolate. Now, when I talk about chocolate, I'm talking about this junk chocolate they have. I'm not talking about the pure cacao, 100% cacao. They call it cacao chocolate, but it's not this regular chocolate you buy from the store just with all the sugar and milk and all that crap in it. Also, stay away from refined carbohydrates, not complex carbohydrates. Complex carbohydrates are foods that are your, you know, vegetables and tomatoes and things of that nature. That's complex. That's the good stuff. And while you have pain, nausea, and or vomiting, and fever, follow a fasting program, okay, and you can use coffee enemas for a few days. The coffee enema is important. You can also use garlic in the enema. And if you know how to do an enema, or if you don't know how to do it, you go on the Internet, and it tells you how to do an enema. Okay? I don't have time to go through that whole process here right now. So you need a detoxification program for the liver and colon. It's important for improved gallbladder function. Use cleansing enemas if you have chronic problems. Do not overeat. Obesity and gallbladder disease are related. And females age 40 and over who are overweight and who have had children are more likely than most people to suffer from disorders of the gallbladder. Do you hear that? Yes. This is something you have to really think about. Also, you can get a kombucha tea. You ever hear kombucha? That's K-O-M-B-U-C-H-A. That may be beneficial for gallstones, you see. You can find kombucha tea at your health food stores or your Whole Foods market or whatever. You even find kombucha. Just ask for it, you see. Yes. And also, rapid weight changes can cause gallbladder problems. You have rapid changes in the weight, it can cause gallbladder problems. Now, the recommended treatment for gallstones is usually surgical removal of the gallbladder. However, listen, if gallstones show up on an X-ray but do not cause symptoms, there is no need for surgery. A gallstone may slip into a bile duct, one of the structures that drain the gallbladder and the liver. If this occurs, extraction or surgical removal may be necessary. And sometimes stones in the gallbladder can be fragmented or dissolved without surgery using drugs or sound waves. Okay? And bile acid preparations used to dissolve stones work very slowly and can be used only on small stones. So I hope you got something out of this. And there's more information I can share with you on this, but I'm just trying to keep this down to a minimum with these conditions today. And, you know, in the future we may just deal with one type of ailment and go into things a little deeper. Now, another thing. Okay, we know this is winter time. Yes, winter time. And guess what? They're telling you, get your flu shot. If you don't get your flu shot, you'll get the flu. Nonsense. Okay? It is static. I guess the CDC must be listening. Okay. Anyway, influenza, better known as the flu, is a highly contagious viral infection of the upper respiratory tract. And because this illness can be spread easily by coughing and sneezing, influenza epidemics are very common, especially in winter. And more than 200 different viruses can cause colds and flu. And strains of these viruses are constantly changing. So vaccinations against influenza have been only partly successful in preventing outbreaks of disease. They say partly. But even that partly is so small that you would never know, you see? And the symptoms of influenza begin much like those of common cold. You got a headache, fatigue, and body aches, and in many cases, a fever develops. And you may feel unbearably hot one moment and chilled and shaken the next. And most influenza sufferers have a dry throat and cough. Yes, they go, you know what I mean? Yes, dry throat and cough, okay? Nausea and vomiting may occur as well. And often a person with the flu is so weak and so uncomfortable that he or she does not feel like eating or doing anything else. All you want to do is lay there. Oh, man, I just wanted to stay under the covers. I don't want nothing. That's the way they feel. And influenza is rarely dangerous in healthy adults. Static again, okay. But it does not make a person more susceptible to pneumonia, ear infections, and sinus trouble. Okay? But it does make a person more susceptible. I'm talking about people 60 years or younger now. Among people 65 or older, serious respiratory infections such as pneumonia and influenza are the fifth leading cause of death. So the flu is clearly a serious infection for older people. Yes. So, what can we do? What can we do? Well, some people say, I just don't get my flu shot. Well, you can take your flu shot if you want. But do you know that the Center of Disease Control in Atlanta, they know that this flu shot does not work. They have admitted it. They know it does not work, period. And you're going up there paying for a flu shot, you're going to these drugstores and where they come get your flu shots. Man, nonsense. Nonsense. Let's look at some herbs that may help you. So if you have a fever, then you should take catnip tea enemas. Catnip tea enemas, okay? And also 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of lobelia, L-O-B, as in boy, E-L-I-A. Get the lobelia tincture, a tincture, T-I-N-C-T-U-R-E. Use that every 3 to 4 hours until the fever drops. And this is good for children also. But do not use this mixture if you are pregnant, ladies, or breastfeeding. And do not give it to a child under 1 year old. And do not take lobelia internally on an ongoing basis. Okay? Now, echinacea. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of echinacea. That's E-C-H-I-N-A-C-E-A, echinacea. Ginger. Oh, ginger is always great. Golden seal, another powerful herb. Pardiaco. Let me spell that for you. P-A-U. Then you have D with an apostrophe. A-R-C-O. Pardiaco. Slippery elm. Yes, slippery elm. And yarrow tea are good for influenza. Any of these are great for influenza. And combining peppermint tea with any of these herbal teas is effective for helping to open up the nasal passages. Do not take golden seal internally on a daily basis for more than 1 week at a time. Do not use it during pregnancy. and use it with caution if you are allergic to ragweed. You hear that? Okay. Alcohol-free echinacea and golden seal combination extract is recommended for the children. Yes, make sure it's alcohol-free. You can find these extracts at your health food store without the alcohol. Give a child 4 to 6 drops of combination extract in water or juice every 4 hours for 3 days. Echinacea is very effective at enhancing the body's own natural defenses. Golden seal is a natural antibiotic and helps to relieve congestion. Yes. Cayenne. Yes, the cayenne pepper helps to keep mucus flowing, aiding in preventing congestion and headaches. Just simply add a bit of cayenne powder to soups and other foods. Okay? Yes. These are things you can do. At the first sign of a cough, place 1 dropper full of alcohol-free echinacea and golden seal extract in your mouth and hold it there for 5 to 10 minutes and repeat this every hour for 3 to 4 hours. This stops the virus from multiplying. You hear that? Simple. Ephedra, which is called mahuang, is for relief of congestion and coughing. Ephedra is E-P-H-E-D-R-A. Now, do not use this herb if you suffer from anxiety, glaucoma, heart disease, high blood pressure, or insomnia, or if you are taking a monoamine oxidase inhibitor drug. Do not use ephedra if you have any of those conditions. Eucalyptus oil. Oh, that's a great oil. Let me spell eucalyptus. E-U-C-A-L-Y-P as in Peter, T as in Tom, U-S. Oil. This is beneficial for relieving congestion. Just put 5 drops in a hot bath or 6 drops in a cup of boiling water. Put a towel over your head and inhale the vapors. Yes, eucalyptus oil. You know, if you get the essential oils are powerful. You go to any health food store and look for a top-of-the-line essential oil and use the eucalyptus. Great for this problem. And they can talk to you and tell you which ones are the best for this condition, you see. So keep that in mind also. Fenugreek breaks up phlegm and mucus, and slippery elm helps remove them from the body. Now let me spell fenugreek for you. F, I heard the static again. Let me spell it again. F-E-N-U-G-R-E-E-K. Fenugreek. Yes, it breaks up mucus. Believe me, it works well too. You see? So also, for cough and sore throat, mix 1 tablespoon of slippery elm bark powder with 1 cup of boiling water and 1/2 cup of raw honey. And take 1 teaspoon of this mixture every 3 to 4 hours. And it can be taken either hot or cold, as you prefer. Okay? So keep that in mind. Now, other recommendation I'm going to give you is consume plenty of fluids. Very important. You know, doctors always tell you consume plenty of fluids. You see? Well, they don't tell you which ones to take. take plenty of fluids. But use especially like fresh herbal teas, soups, and some good water. That's to prevent the dehydration and help flush out the body. You see? Some people like to take hot chicken soup. You see, this is like grandma's, and it's still good today. So, you know, you can add a little bit of cayenne to help prevent and break up congestion. Get you some, make sure it's organic. Okay, sleep and rest as much as possible. You can also drink the kombucha tea that I mentioned earlier, K-O-M-B-U-C-H-A. Kombucha is antiviral and immune boosting, has immune boosting properties. So keep that in mind. Take some zinc. At the same time, you eat or drink citrus fruits or juices. It will diminish the effectiveness of the zinc. Okay? So do not. I hope I said it right. I said do not take zinc at the same time you eat or drink citrus fruits or juices. I hear the static in this phone. That's why I have to repeat some things. Because it will diminish the effectiveness of the zinc. And do not consume a lot of other types of fruit while you're taking that zinc, okay? Okay, so this is just, some of the things that you can do for the influenza, brothers and sisters, and a couple other things I would tell you. If you consume alcoholic beverages, even occasionally, which you should not do, and I know a lot of you just, it seems like you just got to have your alcohol. But anyway, if you consume alcoholic beverages, even occasionally, or if you have liver or kidney disease, be cautious about using the painkiller Tylenol or Daytril and others. The combination of alcohol and acetaminophen has been associated with serious liver problems. Think about that now. Okay? Yes, so keep that in mind. Antibiotics are useless against viral illnesses like influenza. Keep that in mind. The best way to get rid of the flu or any other infection illness is to attack it head-on by strengthening the immune system. The thymus and adrenal glands are the power seat of the immune system. So when the body is getting sick or already is sick, it is under stress, and stress taxes the immune system. Researchers have linked vulnerability to colds and flu to psychological stress. I don't recommend flu shots. Like I said, they're useless, they're questionable, and the side effects may be worse than the flu. Okay? Than what the flu would be. You see? So enhancement of immune function is preferable and safer. You see? So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. And children who have flu frequently should be checked for thyroid malfunction. Now, y'all heard of the term stomach flu. This is commonly used to refer to another condition, gastroenteritis. Gastroenteritis, this is not influenza, but an acute inflammation of the lining of the stomach. Gastroenteritis is characterized by diarrhea, vomiting, abdominal cramps that vary in severity and may be accompanied by head and body aches, chest pain and cough, and extreme fatigue. It may be caused by a number of different factors, including food poisoning, viral infection, alcohol intoxication, sensitivity to drugs, and certain allergies. This type of illness usually runs its course in 1 or 2 days. You see? So keep that in mind. I think, let's see what time it is. It's almost 8 o'clock. Do I have time for one more condition? All right. You know, I really wanted to deal with kidney disease, and let's go for it. Let's conclude with kidney disease, because many people are suffering with kidney problems. A lot of people on dialysis, and it's a shame that there's so many dialysis centers nowadays because kidney failure. But let's look at kidney disease. Why is this? Why is it? You know, there are a number of different kidney problems that may occur. and the kidneys may be damaged by exposure to certain drugs or toxins, including heavy metals, solvents, chemotherapy agents, snake and insect venom, poisonous mushrooms and pesticides. Impaired kidney function can also accompany or result from many other disorders, such as diabetes, lupus, hypertension, and liver disease. Yes, Bright's disease is a kidney disease marked by the presence of blood protein in the urine, along with hypertension and edema, that's retention of water in the tissues, okay? And this also may occur as a result of an immunological response to infections such as streptococcus, throat infection, okay? And also there's kidney infection, you know. So these are disorders dealing with the kidneys. Hydronephrosis is a condition in which the kidney and the renal pelvis, the structure into which urine is discharged from the kidney, become filled with urine due to an obstruction of urinary flow. Kidney stones are mineral accumulations, primarily calcium in the kidneys. In renal tubular acidosis, the kidneys fail to reabsorb bicarbonate normally, causing impaired ammonia production and acid excretion, and severe dehydration, acidosis, potassium depletion, and bone disorders may result. And nephrotic syndrome is not a disease in itself, but can be a sign of kidney disease. So it is marked by edema and excess protein in the urine. It can be caused by lesions of glomeruli, which is small structures in the kidney made of capillaries that become inflamed, or by chronic diseases such as diabetes or lupus. So if the kidneys cannot function properly to excrete salt and other waste, edema results, and toxic waste may accumulate in the bloodstream due to kidney malfunction, a condition known as uremia, U-R-E-M-I-A, uremia. And symptoms of kidney problems include chills, fever, urinary urgency, fluid retention, which is bloating, abdominal pain, appetite loss, back pain, nausea, and vomiting. And the urine may be cloudy or bloody. Yes, look for that. Back pain may be sudden and intense, occurring just above the waist and running down the groin. So, let's look at some things we can do. Now, the following supplements I'm going to run down to you to aid in controlling urinary tract infection and help maintain proper kidney function. Let's look at some herbs. Buku. Yeah, everybody says buku's the money, huh? Buku or buchu, whichever way you want to call it. B-U-C-H-U, buku or buchu. Tea is good, but don't boil it, okay? Just you know, use boiling water. Celery and parsley seeds are natural diuretics. Taken in combination, they are especially helpful if high uric acid levels are present in the blood. Eating large amounts of animal proteins makes one susceptible to higher levels of uric acid, and these two herbs help keep them in check. Now, animal protein also is very suspect in kidney failure because a lot of you out there eat too much protein, especially animal protein, which is hard on kidneys. Yes. Now, cranberries contain substances that acidify the urine, destroy bacteria buildup, and promote healing of the bladder. So you should drink at least 8 ounces of pure cranberry juice, not that other stuff they sell in the supermarkets. Pure cranberry juice 3 times daily. Use only pure unsweetened juice, as you find in your health food stores, your Whole Foods market. Do not substitute a commercial cranberry juice cocktail product. These contain large amounts of sugar. You know the ones I'm talking about, ocean, whatever, you know. Anyway, if natural cranberry juice is not available, get some cranberry capsules. They can be used as a substitute. Dandelion root extract aids in excretion of the kidney's waste products and is very beneficial for nephritis. That's inflammation, okay? The herbs, hydrangea. Let me spell this for you. Hydrangea is H-Y-D, as in David, R-A-N, G as in George, E-A. And another herb, uva ursi, U-V-A, then ursi, U-R-S-I. These are excellent natural diuretics. And one of the best steps in cleaning out the urinary tract and keeping it healthy is to help it flush itself. Voiding the urinary tract keeps harmful deposits of calcium or other mineral salts from forming obstructions. And uva ursi is also slightly germicidal. So if there are any bacteria present, they will likely be destroyed by it. Marshmallow tea helps to cleanse the kidneys. Now, I'm not talking those marshmallows you buy in a bag and you put on a stick and you roast. No, no, it's an herb called marshmallow. Okay, so don't start buying a bag of marshmallows and making tea out of it. That's not going to work. Okay, you keep that on the stick. Anyway, drink a quart daily of marshmallow tea to help cleanse the kidneys. Okay, corn silk. Yes, corn silk. Also great. Herb for the kidneys, okay? Yes. And other herbs beneficial for kidney problems include golden rod tea, juniper berries, nettle, parsley, red clover, and, excuse me, and watermelon seed tea, okay? These are very good. Now, I'm going to recommend that you consume a diet of 75% raw foods. Eat garlic, potatoes, asparagus, parsley, watercress, celery, cucumbers, papaya, and bananas. Watermelon and pumpkin seeds are also beneficial. And watermelon should be eaten by itself so that it passes through the system quickly. If it stays in the body too long, toxins begin to form. You see? So, also eat sprouts and most green vegetables. And include in the diet some legumes, seeds. These are good. These foods contain the amino acid arginine, which is beneficial for the kidneys. Reduce your intake of potassium and phosphates. Do not use any salt or potassium chloride, a salt substitute. Also avoid beet greens, the chocolate, eggs, fish, meat, spinach, and rhubarb, okay, Swiss chard and tea at this time. And if you have symptoms of kidney problems, especially blood in the urine or severe back pain, you better consult your health provider promptly. You may need medical treatment, okay, and drink 6 to 8 ounces of steamed distilled water every waking hour. Quality water is essential for urinary tract function. And as I said, with these other complications I mentioned earlier, reduce your intake of animal protein or eliminate it altogether. Because a diet in animal protein, high in animal protein, puts stress on the kidneys. Excess accumulation of protein can result in uremia. Protein is easiest to utilize if it has been broken down into free-form amino acids. Okay? So if you want some other good protein sources, you can include peas, beans, lentils, millets, and whole grains. These are good. Avoid all dairy products except for those that are soured. You can use, I'm not a dairy person, man. I don't suggest it. But this can be used if you don't use dairy products, which could be low-fat yogurt, buttermilk, and cottage cheese. You see, if you have to. But, you know, that's not, that's up to you. Okay? 5-3-day cleansing and juice fast. Great. Yes, use those good vegetables and fruits and juice them, and it'll help you out. You see? So anyway, these are some things you can do to help you with this problem. Like I said, there's too many out there that have this problem with kidneys. Looking at the time, you know, I want to deal with kidney stones, and I really have to sign off. We might have to do the kidney stones next week. I'm sure some of you have that problem or have had that problem or know someone that has the problem. And just tune in next week for that, okay? Tune in next week for that. Now, that's very important. Now, I just want to mention this. Imam Alfred Muhammad, he speaks about the prostate and, you know, the problem that a lot of African-American males have. So he always asks for donations to help him out with this prostate problem. So I suggest you write this down. You can go to a website called GoFundMe Alfred. Okay? Alfred Muhammad Prostate. GoFundMe Alfred Muhammad Prostate. Let me spell that for you. GoFundMeAlfred MUHAMMAD PROSTATE. GoFundMe Alfred Muhammad Prostate. Or you can send checks to Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. I'm sure he would appreciate it. And you can always send donations to him also to keep this show on this radio blog spot. As a matter of fact, his program is 7 days a week, and it takes funds to keep this program going and to get good information like I'm sharing with you today. So, my brothers and sisters, I thank you again for having tuned in. I pray you all got something out of this and that you share this information with your brothers and sisters and co-workers and whomever, but ask them also to tune in next week at the same time, 7 o'clock, Thursday evening. And so they also can listen in and benefit from this program. So again, I thank you, and each of you have a blessed evening. And we'll talk next week. Okay, peace. Assalamu alaikum.